Here we are at King's Home on the 9th of November 2009. This is Mount King. I'm here with John Thayers of the Heritage Project, and we're here to interview Mike Dineen. So welcome, Mike.
Thank you very much. It's very nice to be back, and I'm very impressed by what's happened to the club since I was here. And I suppose I left about 1966 in a professional sense when I stopped being a journalist working here. And it's wonderful to see what's been done.
Yeah. Would you like to tell us first, Mike, how you sort of first got involved with the Gloucester Citizen and Gloucester Rugby?
Yeah, well, I started in journalism by being the rugby football correspondent of the Nuneaton Evening Tribune, and that lasted about a year. I think I got the sack. But not because I didn't do the job well, but because I failed to turn up for a council meeting and made excuses. I think I'd been in the pub with some Nuneaton rugby players, probably. And the second job was back in Birmingham. And the third job, since I wanted to live in the beautiful Cotswolds, was in Gloucester. And they were advertising for a general reporter. I got the job. And I was in it for about a year before David Brown, who was the rugby correspondent at that time, had to go into the army, the Air Force. He was conscripted as part of the National Service Program. And he went off to Aden, and I took his job as rugby football reporter. And it was nice to be back in harness again, but it was at a much higher level, because Nuneaton, I don't think, ever figured on Gloucester's fixture list, because Gloucester were, you know, they had a very, very powerful fixture list in those days. In fact, I often used to think then, when they were all, strictly speaking, amateurs, that they were much more was demanded of them as players than probably professional soccer players. And they had to be fit, and they probably had, at the beginning and the end of the season, one or two matches a week. Very hard going. And they didn't seem to have too much time off for injury in those days. I suppose the game was less competitive than it is now. But I enjoyed very much being a part of the Gloucester scene, and at times I think if I was critical in the press about how they played, I was not very popular, to say the least. In fact, I think when Gloucester were doing really badly, they were losing by a large number of points, I used to hear this small voice coming up from the crowd shouting out, "Send that Michael Dineen on, he knows all about it. Something rubbish he writes in the papers."
You were telling us about a certain game at Lydney.
Oh, yes. I did say that if Gloucester were not playing very well, I wouldn't make the usual excuses, "We was robbed," in the press. I would be rude about them. And I went to Lydney one night. It was an evening match, and it was very dark. It was very, very tightly contested between the two packs, and the ball hardly ever got out, even to the scrum half. People were sent off. There was bloodletting. It was a really boring game for a spectator. And I'd got absolutely nothing to write about when I got back to the Citizen office that night to write it up. And I thought, well, I think I'll probably have a bit of fun and write something, I hoped, amusing. So the intro paragraph read, "Gloucester and Lydney played with all the precision, elegance and flair of a herd of arthritic rhinoceroses at Lydney last night." And then it continued in that vein. And I don't know whether you want me to go on, but I mean, I didn't see any of the Gloucester team for a fortnight after that. I wasn't avoiding them, but it was just that I just didn't have to meet them for any reason. And then I was in Gloucester with a girlfriend one night, and we went into the North End vaults, and there was Mickey Booth, and I think Dick Smith, and Terry Hobson, who was, in my opinion, the best fly half I've ever seen. Quite the exceptionally fine player. Anyway, they were all there, and my girlfriend and I came into North Hampton Vaults. They were at the bar, and Mickey Booth said, "Go on, bummer afternoon," you see. And I pretended to go to the door, you see. And he said, "No, come and have a drink, you see. So, and they were recalling this intro paragraph that I'd written about the Lindley match. And Mickey said, "Good job we didn't find you a fortnight ago, Mike." And I said, "Why is that?" He said, "We were looking all over town for you. We were going to throw you in the River Severn." And I think they would have done too.
You used to travel with the team to away matches as well.
Yeah, right? I used to go on the bus with them, unless I'd got any reason that I was going, probably, if it was South Wales. I married a girl from South Wales, and we used to spend a lot of time in Cardiff, and so we'd probably go down in our car, and I'd link up with them if they were at any of the South Wales clubs. But most of the time, if it was a long distance up to the north, you know, sort of Leeds and the North Country clubs, or the Midland clubs, or the London clubs, Oxford, Cambridge, and so on, I went with on the bus with the team.
So what was the normal form in those days for travelling to away games?
How do you mean?
Well, did you go overnight or only on the day?
Oh, just on the day. Yeah. Yes, there were no... Cornwall probably was an overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then my wife fortunately had relations in Cornwall, so we stayed with them. And but I don't know what the team did. I suppose they'd stay at a hotel. But if it was a sort of spring tour, you know, obviously they'd be staying at various hotels near the Redruth and Camborne, places like that. Yeah. So, I mean, I didn't actually find myself socialising a hell of a lot with the rugby players. I'm not for any reason, except that I think that in those days you reported the match that you saw rather than the doings after the match, when people started enjoying themselves and doing things that they shouldn't be doing, you know. Yeah. So in other words, the gossip writing element didn't enter into sports reporting in those days.
Oh, you mean you were as guilty as they were on the way home, right?
Highly likely, yeah. Highly likely. We always used to drink too much beer. But who was it? It was the England captain in fairly recent times who converted a lot of rugby players to drinking white wine, which didn't seem to be at all suitable to me.
Sounds like Will Carling to me.
Carling, it was, yeah.